Have you ever experienced a moment that felt eerily familiar? Could it just be your mind and memory playing tricks on you? Or could multidimensional factors be at play? Today, we test the believability of déjà vu.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. We're here. We're talking about things that seem a little eerily familiar. If you're experiencing deja vu right now, maybe it's because we did either past lives or the multiverse theory.
Yeah, this is a topic we've been like, we should do this.
It's been on my, because we have a list and I have a list. And it's been on the top of my list for a long time. I feel like I have to space the way we were talking last episode about spacing aliens out. I have to space sciencey ones out.
You know, this one's super sciencey. Yeah. This is going to be real cerebral.
Yeah, basically. But I think it's cool because I think there's something you can learn. I think there's a lot of science. I think there's a good amount of paranormal. But I think it's relatable because a lot of people experience this.
That's true. I think that's really true.
But, you know, as I like to do from time to time, and you yourself, let me set the scene, all right? So that,
okay.
And then we'll dive into this. So let's say you're at the mall. I know you don't like the mall, but let's say you're at the mall, right? Maybe you're visiting a new city somewhere and you want to check out the local mall. You walk in, you check out some stores, definitely Old Navy. Walk around, whatever, have a good time. And as you're leaving, you notice that the escalator in the middle of the mall is broken. It catches you off guard. And it seems really, really similar. It feels familiar. And obviously, I'm sure you've been around other broken escalators before, so it's, you know, no big deal. But then you see this kid running through the mall. Why he's running, who knows? He's wearing a red t-shirt and he's heading straight for the broken escalator. Whether it's that imagery, whether it's the person running, the way that they're running, maybe it's from a movie, maybe it looks like an escalator that you've seen in a different mall, but for some reason, you get this feeling that you've been here before, that you've witnessed this before. Cutting there, that's like a general, quick moment of deja vu that people experience, but let's take it a step further. And as that kid in the red shirt is running to the escalator, you get this feeling, oh no, it's going to start up as soon as he steps on it and he's going to trip. And it does, and he does, and you're left incredibly confused as to how and why this situation seems like it's happened before and how you knew it was going to happen. End scene.
Huh.
Yeah, so I think there's multiple different facets to deja vu between just getting that feeling that you've been here before, that this is similar, versus... And a lot of the, I mean, we have encounters in this episode, people who seem to almost predict the future without knowing it's really going to happen. So we'll get more to that. We're going to discuss the science behind it, scientific explanations, potential paranormal explanations, and then some deja vu encounters.
Wow. That's a really good scene too, because it almost feels like deja vu.
You've seen a kid in a red shirt running.
I don't think I have, but I could easily see it in my mind.
Yeah.
So
yeah, perfect. All right, let's dive in to deja vu. Okay, so again, I'm way more familiar personally with like the first half of deja vu, which is just acknowledging that something someone says or an event or scenery, something just feels familiar or like you've been there before. So very literally, deja vu is French and translates to already seen.
Oh, wow. I was going to ask you what deja vu meant.
Yeah, already seen. So essentially, deja vu is that sense that you've already witnessed something, whether it be an event, or someone saying something, landscape, but it's combined with this cold, hard fact that you know, guaranteed deep down, that you've never experienced this specific thing before. And even if you're not sure that you haven't experienced it, you're unable to retrieve a memory that would match with it anyway. So you're either 100% confident, I've never been here, I've never seen this, this has never happened before, or if you're like, maybe something kind of similar is triggering this, you can't retrieve that memory. And it's eerie. It's an eerie feeling. It's this like internal battle that amplifies up to this strange feeling. Because on one hand, everything like this moment feels so familiar. But on the other hand, you're just positive that these moments, what's happening has never lined up before. It often catches people off guard to the point that they're often confused. They look confused. People around them are like, what's going on? What are you feeling? And, you know, just slipping between dimensions, no big deal. It's also thought to be equivalent to like a small brain glitch where there's like two streams of thoughts colliding.
Had a brain glitch before.
Brain glitch.
I feel like I have brain glitches all the time.
Now that's a rock band name right there.
That's brain glitch. That's a great rock band name.
We just need to put out a list of rock band names out there. Yeah. That'd be a good shirt idea. We'd have to go back through so many different episodes though.
There's a lot of them, I'm sure.
So I know I said this at the top that it's fairly common. And I know I'm explaining something that you guys probably already know. I don't think deja vu is like this hidden underground. Yeah,
no.
But I'm going to call you guys out. I think you like us talking about things you already know. Because I know Charlie can agree that we've had many like talk about Mothman,
yeah,
talk about the Jersey Devil. Nobody wanted to hear La Pacha lead at the beginning. You want to hear about Mothman.
Yeah, you'll only hear the big ones.
Not here. Well, we're just kidding, kind of. I digress. But Charlie, let me ask you a question. I know we normally save quiz for Patreon. But what percentage of people do you think have reported experiencing some degree of deja vu? 0 to 100.
Oh, I have to. There's no A, B, or C?
No, a percentage. It's high. I'll give you that. It's common.
I'm between 80 and 90.
Okay.
I'm going to go with 80.
97.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I'm basically telling y'all stuff you already know.
Wow.
Studies show that there's some characteristics among people who experience deja vu.
I can't remember the last time I've had deja vu.
Well, I'm going to ask you here later, so start thinking about it.
All right.
So for the people that experience it frequently or multiple times, there's a couple characteristics between these people that they share. One is it's often folks that travel quite frequently. Maybe it's because you're always seeing new places. I guess it's giving your brain and your mind more stuff to retrieve.
Yeah.
Because you're just seeing more. So it gives you more opportunity to remind for one place to remind you of another place because you've been more places. So someone who went to Savannah and then maybe they traveled to Charleston or vice versa, and they might be like, wow, this looks really familiar. And that has nothing to do with deja vu. I'm just saying the more you travel, the more you have to pull from.
I think that's correct. I think that makes a lot of sense. And
yeah, we try to make sense around here sometimes. The second characteristic is people that easily remember their dreams. I think for the same reason, it's more to retrieve from, more to pull from. Oh. And three, I don't know what this has. Maybe it's the development of the brain. It often occurring between the ages of 15 and 25.
Oh, okay. So I can't think. None of those describe me.
But that's okay because you said you don't experience. So these are characteristics. Travel often. Remember your dreams between the age of 15 and 25. These are people who, out of all the people that report having deja vu frequently or multiple times, those are their characteristics.
I also feel like these kinds of people would have lots of crystals. And bad gats, so.
Yeah. In terms of health, it's also believed that deja vu is connected to epilepsy.
Oh.
Which, just as a refresher, epilepsy is a disorder in which nerve cell activity in the brain is disturbed, which causes seizures. It can be a genetic disorder, brain injury, you know, like trauma or stroke. But this is due to the fact that it affects the temporal lobe. I think it's temporal. It's either temporal or temporal. Temporal sounds better.
It's temporal.
Yeah, temporal lobe of your brain.
For my years of watching House, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's temporal.
He was grumpy.
Yeah.
Do you know Dave Matthews was one of his patients?
Really? It feels familiar.
The father.
I'm having deja vu right now.
Ah, the father was, the father from that 70s show. Is it Kurtwood Smith? Is that his name? Have you seen that 70s show?
Yeah, I've seen it. I don't know.
Red is Dave Matthews' father in that episode.
I feel like I know the episode.
It's through the piano.
Oh. Oh, yeah. And he's like, disconnected part of his brain or something. Yeah.
See, I'm impressed that you knew that.
I like House.
Every time I've watched House, it's always the same one. I told you this. Do you remember what I'm about to say?
Is it the toothpick one?
Yeah, it's always the toothpick one.
It's a good episode, though.
The dude, the guys, and they're making, not the guys, the couple are making out in the car. The cop comes.
Yeah.
Dude's in the hospital.
He's like, whoop.
Swallowed a toothpick.
Yeah.
Good show, though.
Yeah.
Now, I hope you had a little bit of time to think about it, but can you think of a time that you've had deja vu, Charlie?
I really haven't. Like I said, it's been a long time. I would imagine my early 20s.
Maybe between like 15 and 25.
Yeah. It's been such a long time. I don't remember deja vu at all.
They're never... Okay. So like I said, there's like the... This feels eerily similar to predicting the future. I've never predicted the future. That is not me. I feel like I've experienced deja vu probably between 5 to 15 times in my life. But they're always like minute. It's like... I feel like it's normally conversation plus location. Like for me, it'll be like... I remember this person telling me this while I was sitting here before, but there's no reason for that to be true.
Right.
That's normally my type of deja vu.
If I've had one or two, it might have been while traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember.
Between 15 and 25.
Yeah. You know what? I think I did. Pulling back now. I think I did have some deja vu when I was traveling across the country.
With your dad?
With my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's maybe when I got some. Had a couple encounters.
Yeah.
Encounter.
It's just always, it's fleeting, it's eerie, and I always spend way too much time trying to draw connections. Like, I never think of it like I've been here before. It's like, maybe this person's retelling me this story, but maybe it happened recently, or I've never been sitting here talking to you in this position. So I can never solve it, but I try to solve it. So here, this will make you happy. Here's a little bit of history for you, Charlie.
Awesome.
From verywellmind.com. So St. Augustine, ancient philosopher, referred to the concept of deja vu in 400 AD as, quote, false memory.
Unquote. Okay, I've heard of that.
But French philosopher Emile Björk was the first to use the term deja vu in 1890. The first use of the phrase in the scientific world was from F.L. Arnaud, a neurologist who proposed to use it at a meeting of this, some society thing. It's like a logical society.
Okay.
Yeah. So for the 3% of you out there, let's break down what deja vu feels like, because the other 90% of you know.
I wonder if someone who hasn't had deja vu is listening, because it's such a small number.
It's almost, okay, you know when we did like sleep paralysis?
Yeah.
And we were like, if you've had a sleep paralysis story, please send it to us. I don't want to hear deja vu stories. If you haven't had deja vu, hit us up. I want to know if you haven't.
It's very minute.
I'm going to try and put it on you. I'm going to try and give you deja vu. I don't know how. That'll be in the next episode, how to give someone deja vu. But let's talk a little bit about what deja vu feels like. And let's go to our friends over at the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh, wow.
Shout out Cleveland. Quote, in 1983, Dr. Vernon Knepp defined deja vu as subjectively inappropriate impression of familiarity of a present experience with an undefined past.
Sounds like a doctor.
He's just like, what's the flowery most... he's like, this quote is going to be on a podcast in 40 years.
Wow.
So I need it exactly 40 years, actually.
He had deja vu of the future.
He did. In simplest terms, basically, that means that when you have deja vu, you feel like you're experiencing something that you almost are certain could not have happened. And they also emphasize, it's not like taking the same bus route each day and recognizing scenery. That's familiarity. Deja vu, on the other hand, is when you feel like you've had this exact same conversation or experienced this very specific scenario in the past, all while knowing that it cannot have ever happened before.
Right. So like you're that example. So like you take the same bus route every day. That's familiar. Get on a new bus you've never been on before, and then you feel familiar with this route. But there's no way that could have been.
Right. And I think one way to explain it, which not like we're getting into explanations yet, is just saying like, hey, this reminds me of that bus route. That's different because you can draw the retreat. You can pull the retrieval. Like if you fly to Denver, and then you fly to Florida. Depending on where you start, two completely different ways. And maybe the flight to Florida will remind you of the flight to Denver, but you know where you're pulling that source from. When it comes to deja vu, it feels like that, like it's familiar, but you don't know the source, or it's inexplicable.
And also, if you go to Denver, be careful.
Be careful of that airport.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's like a good hint for a next episode. If we ever planned episodes out in advance, it would be so smart to lay little teasers like that down.
Yeah.
Like for like just 10 seconds, just, you know, they say that like the underneath the Denver airport, there's like all this demonic, creepy stuff. And there's these statues that are all creepy. And they say it could be tied to the Illuminati. Maybe we'll talk about that soon. ..
If we were that organized, that'd be a great thing to do.
We'll probably do that episode in like 3 years.
I've almost done the Denver airport before.
It's a good topic. But today we're talking about deja vu. So let's talk a little bit about the impact of deja vu. So it happens to you. So what?
You're a dinosaur. You're walking along. Impact. Deja vu.
Boom. That's what they named the asteroid. And a little taste of deja vu. I'm telling you, we need an explosion sound.
We do.
We really do. I'm going to work on that. There's a lot of stuff to work on here. New year, new me. I'm going to learn geography.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get an explosion sound on our smart pad.
That can definitely be done.
So for the majority of people, deja vu has no serious impact other than just feeling a little bit of momentary confusion. However, when deja vu is very, very, very frequent, doctors and medical professionals recommend that you reach out to a neurologist because it could be signs of
memory loss.
Not necessarily memory loss.
Something.
It means your brain might not be performing the way that they would prefer. And,
okay.
And by regularly, often, they define that as if you're experiencing it a few times a week. So scientifically speaking, we're still here. What causes deja vu? And there's
clams.
There's multiple different theories.
Is it clams?
It's not clams.
I thought it might be clams.
Clam chowder. Maybe that's why I haven't had deja vu in a while.
Maybe.
Clam chowder is really good, though. Do you like clam chowder?
Yeah.
Do you like the New England style?
Yeah, I don't know anybody who likes the Manhattan style better.
I've never even seen it.
I haven't either.
I would just mistake it for probably tomato soup, and I'm like, oh, dunking grilled cheese.
Seafood in this?
Dunking grilled cheese in Manhattan soup.
I wouldn't dunk grilled cheese in New England clam chowder either.
But tomato soup.
Yes.
That's what I'm referring to.
Okay, okay.
I moved on past New England.
I see.
So deja vu is thought to perhaps be abnormal signaling within the temporal lobe, which governs memory processing and visual memory. So we kind of already talked about that a little bit. Conditions that can cause deja vu in addition to epilepsy include schizophrenia, anxiety, and vascular dementia. So let's go back to our friends at the Cleveland Clinic. I don't know why they're friends, just because they're close.
Yeah.
Like 30 minutes from
familiar.
Quote, deja vu is caused by dysfunctional connections between the parts of your brain that play a role in memory recollection and familiarity. You have two temporal lobes, one on each side of your head, right above your temples. They play an important role in helping you recall words, remember places you've been, recognize people, understand language, interpret other people's emotions. And in each temporal lobe is a hippocampus, which contributes to many of these functions and is responsible for your storing of short-term memories. Occasionally, like during certain types of seizures, your hippocampus and surrounding brain tissue can be activated, causing you to have a memory experience similar to deja vu. And this can cause a disruption of recognition memory systems, which gives you that false sense of familiarity. So says Dr. Corey, but it's not the way you'd think it's spelled. It's K-H-O-U-R-Y.
Wow, that is crazy.
Not only do I want to make sure this quote is amazing, I need my name to be rememberable.
Yeah.
Rememberable? Memorable. Remembered. Just one time.
Yeah.
Memorable. So here's another theory called the perception theory.
Oh my gosh, this is so sciencey.
Woo, we're gonna
I feel like I got my test tubes and my beakers over here.
Oh, I learned recently that when you grow it in a test tube rather than in the natural world, it's called in vitro. I didn't know that.
Oh.
It's Latin.
Mm.
But that's not the perception theory.
Is it Latin for the vitro?
No. Oh. That'd be funny. One theory is that sometimes what happens is really a matter of split perception. And someone is processing a sight twice because they might have been distracted or their vision was obstructed for some reason. So let me explain that.
Okay.
So you give me something you want to have deja vu about. It'll be easier if I have an object.
Oh.
Like an object, anything.
Maybe like a dinner I had.
A dinner. Okay.
Yeah.
So the perception theory is that, like, let's say the way your plate is formed, where you have like the way you're, like, let's say the way that their mashed potatoes is on your plate is like a dolphin.
Okay,
That's the way they shape it.
Very specific.
Well, yeah. So let's say, like, based on this perception theory, you look down, you start perceiving that it's a dolphin, but you don't finish it. Like, it's not like, it's like when you don't finish a song and then it's stuck in your head. It's like, it's messing with you. You look down, you notice it, but you don't make that conscious connection. Like, hey, that's weird. My mashed potatoes are shaped like a dolphin.
Mm-hmm.
You do something else. And then you regain focus. And this time, the second perception, you make it clear, whoa, my mashed potatoes are shaped like a dolphin. That's so strange. And what this theory is saying is when you get deja vu in that moment, the reason it feels familiar is because you already tried to make that acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason it feels eerie and disconnected is because you didn't finish that thought, that perception. So really, you're experiencing deja vu, but it's not from like some weird mystical thing that happened or didn't happen. It's just literally shortly before that you didn't finish that connection.
I like that theory a lot. That's really cool.
Yeah. It was a little confusing at first, but it's basically just not being cognizant of your surroundings. The more cognizant you are. Mm-hmm.
That also makes sense why younger kids, like 15 to 25.
Easily distracted.
Yeah, I was.
Cell phones.
Absolutely.
People in like the 1810s where you're just cutting wood and stuff, you're not probably getting deja vu. This wood looks like the last wood that I chopped. This isn't really a theory. I think this one actually kind of ties into it, but it's the idea of being less than aware. So they say that deja vu is more likely to happen to people who are tired or stressed out.
Okay.
And maybe just going off of that, it's just fatigue and that affecting you both your short and long-term memory, but it also could affect you from being cognizant. So I think that kind of plays in the perception theory. I got two more things. I got a dopamine theory, and then I have a study. The dopamine theory, we're going back to our acquaintances at Very Well. Quote, a hypothesis is that excess amounts of dopamine may be implicated in experiences of deja vu. In studies of temporal lobe epilepsy, the research shows that elevated levels of dopamine were detected in rodent models of temporal lobe epilepsy. One strange case of deja vu is the use of flu medication, amphetamine and proin. So the case study writes that a man who took a combination of medications to treat an infection of the flu, and he began experiencing several episodes of deja vu per hour, which then stopped him from taking these medications. Both these medications, among their flu-like symptom-reducing properties, work on the dopamine system. So they're trying to draw connections. And this is just one study, one case study. But they're saying based on that, it's like maybe your dopamine levels and your dopamine system could be tied to deja vu.
Wow. That's cool. I don't know. I don't know what that means, but it's cool. This episode is not sponsored by the Cleveland Clinic.
No. Have you been to Cleveland Clinic?
Yeah, I got my wrist surgery there.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
They should sponsor an episode. All right, so I got one last case study before we jump ship into a different world, different universe.
Yeah, less science, more paranormal.
I feel like there's been more history lately, so this is me just shoving the science down your throat. This is from theconversation.com. It's about testing deja vu in a psychology lab. Quote, we investigated a near-century-old hypothesis that suggested deja vu can happen when there's a spatial resemblance between a current scene and an unrecalled scene that is in your memory. Psychologists call this the Gestalt familiarity hypothesis. So Gestalt was the parts are greater than the whole. I think that was like his whole thing, if I remember correctly.
I don't remember at all.
Okay. So for example, imagine you're passing the nursing station in a hospital unit on your way to visit a sick friend. Although you've never been to that hospital before, you're struck with a feeling that you have. This underlying cause for this experience of deja vu could be the layout of the scene, including the placement of the furniture, the particular objects of the space, and just having the same layout as a different scene that you did experience in the past. Maybe the way the nursing station is situated, the furniture, the items on the counter, the way it connects to the corners of the hallway, is the same as how a set of welcome tables was arranged relative to signs and furniture in a hallway at the entrance to maybe a school event that you attended earlier in the year. According to the Gestalt familiarity hypothesis, if that previous situation with a similar layout to the current one doesn't come to mind, you might only be left with a strong feeling of familiarity for the current one. So really quick, stopping there. Are you with me? So basically,
yes, yeah.
You're going to a place and you're getting a feeling of deja vu and you don't know why, but you actually have a reason why. You just can't think of it because it's not striking. It's spatial. It's the way it's the way an environment is set up is reminding you of a different environment that's just a little similar.
Yes, that makes sense. I feel like I'm too easily swayed by science. Like all these made sense to me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's what science is trying to do.
Yeah.
They're trying to corrupt your mind. To investigate this idea in the laboratory, my team used virtual reality to place people within scenes.
Okay, that's smart.
That way we could manipulate the environments people found themselves in. Some scenes shared the same spatial layout, while otherwise being distinct. As predicted, deja vu was more likely to happen when people were in a scene that contained the same spatial arrangement of elements as an earlier scene that they viewed but couldn't recall. The research suggests that one contributing factor to déjà vu could be spatial resemblance of a new scene to one in memory that fails to be consciously called to the mind at that exact moment. Although they go on to say it doesn't mean that spatial resemblance is the only cause of déjà vu. There's many factors. More research is underway to investigate additional possible factors at play in this mysterious phenomenon. Unquote. So I think that ties in a little bit to the way I deal with déjà vu, because normally it's a conversation plus a place. So it had a similar conversation, or this person is telling me the same story, and there's no way it could have been here, but the way that my environment is, like the spatial relation I have to it, is similar to somewhere else that I've heard the story.
Okay.
Not saying that's always
a similar story.
Or a similar. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now let's get to the fun part. Let's move on to whether or not déjà vu could be paranormal and a couple of theories.
Okay. All right. Good. More spookies.
All right, I got four for you. I'm very interested. Please give me the feedback.
Okay.
Obviously, we have a discussion where we will discuss such theories.
Yep.
But let's go. First one, multiverse theory. So this is a quantum physics. It's still science. Deep down, it's still science.
It is in its heart.
In its heart, it's still science. But basically, the idea is that there are alternate universes, parallel universes, alternate dimensions, right?
Is that string theory?
It didn't go into it, and I'm not trying to pretend that. I've heard about it in a movie.
I know what a string is.
I've seen a string. I know strings. But basically, the reason that you are... let's go back to the mashed potatoes. So you are sitting down at a restaurant, and you're visiting a city you've never been. What's a city you've never been to that you want to go to?
Many cities.
I just need one.
Portland.
Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Or Oregon.
I don't know.
I think it's Oregon, but I could be wrong. Could be wrong. But let's say you're in Portland and you're hanging out with Dame Lillard of the Portland Trailblazers, and he takes you to a fine dining restaurant, and they're known for their dolphin-shaped mashed potatoes.
Sure.
And you're sitting down and you didn't know that, and you order it and you get it, and you're like, you just get this insane feeling of, I've been here before with Dame Lillard eating this mashed potatoes, and you're like, there's no way that this could have happened before. But yes, there was, in a different dimension. You are either, it's a timeline, you're either ahead of your timeline, I guess in this case, you would be behind it. But you are drawing from an experience that did not happen in this timeline. It happened in a different dimension, different timeline. You're pulling from that. It's still you, so you're experiencing it.
I want to know what circumstances led me to be in Portland with, what's his name?
Dame Lillard.
I've never heard his name before tonight, so I don't know. All right.
Dame? Listen, you won a contest.
Okay, that makes sense. I like that theory a lot. That makes a lot of sense. I think it's probably sound crazy. It sounds more plausible to me than your brain tripping up.
I don't know, because the brain, I mean, this will be stuff for the discussion. The brain is like so... Like, that's why, like, head injuries are so scary. There are so many different type of head injuries, brain injuries, especially, like, children. Like, if they fall, it's just like...
Well, dunzo. That's why it's hard to... You know, have you ever heard the clockmaker theory?
What is that?
I have a lot of theories right now. The idea is it's in support of God, basically.
Okay.
And the idea is that you're walking on a beach, right? And you find a clock or a watch. Now, do you assume that clock was naturally made, or that someone made that watch?
Mm. If I'm today walking and I find it, I would assume it was man-made.
Yeah. you have to, basically, because
it's a Rolex.
Because it's so fine, so detailed, so oriented.
Yeah.
That there's no way nature could make something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't feel any particular way about that. It's a theory I know. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily agree with it. But the idea behind that is that nature couldn't make that. And the brain is almost like...
Oh, we are nature.
Yes.
So how could we make that watch when it's not naturally occurring?
Yeah.
Aliens.
is that your not the brain right? Is the clock in that.
I see. No, that's cool. I think it's good to bring in different opinions, different ideas, different theories. This episode, for one. I feel like it's just flooding to me all the different... Because déjà vu is so still mysterious. I mean, there are scientific theories that think they have it nailed down. We're going to be talking about more paranormal theories that could potentially be true. It's crazy to me how many different avenues déjà vu finds itself in. Yeah. I feel like we talked about in Doppelgangers, I know we talked about in the multiverse. I believe we talked about in past lives. Like, there's just so many different ways that deja vu can creep in. Like, I think in the Matrix movies, so they called it a glitch in the Matrix. Like, is that how you know? Like, if you see a, I think it was the black cat, right?
Yes.
You saw the black cat and you saw it again.
They call it a glitch. I think they call it something else.
Okay. But it, like, it is a glitch in the Matrix. I don't know. I don't remember what they call it. I haven't seen the movie in a long time. But that was, wasn't that the way that you knew you were in the Matrix?
Like, it's, yes.
Deja vu was like the sign that you knew.
I think that was like a way to know that you were by an exit portal or something.
Mm.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. For some reason, I thought it was a sign. It was just, it was supposed to be a wake up call.
It might be that.
Like, too. Hey, these things are too strange, you know, simulation things. Cool. So let's move on to our second theory. And I'm going to be very honest. I don't like this theory.
Okay.
But I found it. So I'm going to talk about it.
I found this fossilized poop. I don't like that I have it, but I'm going to keep it.
So this is a paranormal theory. It's called the Sixth Sense theory. And I won't spoil it. This movie is so old, I'm not going to spoil it for you, though. So the Sixth Sense is the idea that this Sixth Sense that we don't fully understand is tapping into things that we can't comprehend, which leads to deja vu.
Okay, so...
And it's coupled with the theory that we only use a small percentage of our brain.
Okay.
So when we're using more than that is when things that are strange, like deja vu, happen, where it's not something... like. It's not saying there's something wrong with your brain. It's just a part of your brain that is very rarely used. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah. So it's like you have the ability to sense these kinds of things, but not a lot of people tap into it all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
I get it. I understand why you don't like it that much.
Yeah. Well, one of my problems is, I'll use the example I wrote out here because I like it. Basically, it would be like the way that we would perceive it as a sixth sense is like, have you ever read The Giver or watched the movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like Joan is seeing color. It's like you can't, to someone, people that I'm colorblind to a certain degree, and if someone's colorblind, I think they can at least get it. I don't want to speak for them. But like, let's say there's someone that they just can't perceive color, like trying to explain color. When like Jonas starts seeing red, like there's just, it's a
right.
Mind fuck, you know?
Yeah.
But like that would be the category it would fall under. It's like, it's not something, deja vu is something we can't really understand or perceive, even though it's naturally occurring. And it's another sense. My pushback is that a few articles that I saw talking about this, one of the things that I mentioned was not using a lot of our brain. But then I researched that, and I'm limited to what I can find online. So I'm not trying to say one thing is 100% guaranteed or not. But many of the well-documented articles that I found from places like Healthline were saying it's actually a myth.
Yeah, that's kind of debunked, isn't it?
It is. We use, like, maybe not all at once, but throughout the course of a day, you pretty much use all of your brain. That 10%, which is crazy, because I grew up listening to that, hearing that, and believing that. And I used to think, man, like, just imagine if we used, like, 18%. I could fly.
There's a movie with Scarlett Johansson on that concept.
Is that Lucy?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Ah, 2014.
I saw that. I don't remember the year.
It's 14.
I like he looked in my eyes and said 14.
My second pushback is, what sense would trigger deja vu? Like what, like, I still don't know what you're grasping at. I'm touching this. Seeing, I'm seeing this. And maybe it's because the problem is if this is true, it's because I can't comprehend it. But I don't know what the end game is. Like, is it future? Is it past? Is it a sense that can, is it tying things together? Is it a sixth sense that connects us to a different dimension?
Maybe it's like some kind of natural warning system, right?
Maybe.
So
we're just almost, Teslas, where it's just like you're getting kind of close.
It's almost like when the hair stands up on the back of your neck, right? You're getting this feeling of something you can't really understand, but it puts you in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's that kind of sense.
Maybe. I don't know. I think that one, I don't love that one. I think you have to use other theories to bump it up to make it better. And I think that makes it a weak theory, in my opinion. Third paranormal theory, paranormal-ish. Past life experiences.
Oh, I remember this.
Now, we did a whole episode on past lives and stories of past lives. And if you haven't listened to it yet, you should. And if you haven't listened to it since it dropped, neither have I. But I have a good feeling that we talked about deja vu, and I'm pretty sure we did.
I think we did, yeah.
Could be wrong. So what if deja vu is experiencing a memory that you or your soul or your past life experienced and you have not ... yet?
Yes.
So this isn't multidimensional. This isn't saying there's another dimension here, another dimensional there. This is saying that you as a person have past lives. And when you start experiencing deja vu, it's because some things are lining up that directly match an experience, an encounter, a conversation yeah. that your past self had.
All I can think about is French stuff right now because of deja vu. So like you go to France and you go to the Palace of Versailles and you get deja vu there.
Because of the baguette.
Because maybe you were in the Palace of Versailles before.
In a past life. Yes, that is, yep. And again, this is different from the multiverse because it's not claiming you're experiencing a replica of the same exact experience just on a different timeline. This is you from a different time.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you can't properly retrieve it because it's a past life. So that's why it lends itself so well to deja vu rather than like knowing where it's coming from. There's no way really to know. But this theory is actually tied to another theory, which is cellular memory, if you're familiar at all with that. And we might have talked about it in past lives too. Here's a quote from Tuck Mag, or it's TUC. It's either TUC or it's Tuck Mag.
Oh, Tuck Mag.
Done it though, so I'll take it with a grain of salt. Quote, theory of cellular memory, where the brain is not the only place that is able to store memories, that the physical body can also recall experiences, that holds many influences and drives certain wants, needs, and desires out of life. Many people believe that cellular memory stores important information about our past lives, giving us hints about what decisions we made in our past lives and what we should not make in this life. What do you think?
I don't like that one very much at all.
The cellular?
No, because I'm like, I don't think my skin knows what happened to my other skin in the past.
Yeah, it's one of those things. And this is like more of a believed theory than even, I think, cellular memory. But like the idea of the collective unconscious.
Okay.
Like we're a species.
I like that one.
It still trips me up. I know people are interconnected. Even when you look at like insects, the way like a whole colony is like connected.
Yeah.
I guess there's ways for that to be the case. It's always been one thing that tripped me up. And our final paranormal theory before we get to the encounters, which might seem a little much right now, but when we get to the encounters, this one's actually going to be kind of front and center.
Okay.
Being clairvoyant and able to see the future.
Okay. So just psychic.
Yeah. So there's no like study or article or YouTube video that I found from somebody who is clairvoyant, claims to be clairvoyant, saying I experience deja vu all the time. But maybe if you believe that there are people that are fully clairvoyant, like Baba Vanga, and you know, if you think we all have maybe a tiny speck of that, deja vu could be just a very uncontrolled experience of us having that ability. So it's seeing the future and knowing that you've experienced a place, but again, since it's in the future, you're not able to retrieve it because it hasn't happened yet. But you get that feeling, like the feeling that it has happened is actually the feeling that it's going to happen.
Okay, I follow.
It's honestly, when it comes to deja vu, I don't really attribute it to being able to predict the future. But so many of the encounters I found, and I believe I have five of them, they're pretty short. All five of them I found seem to have some play on being able to predict the future. Because for me, and I've said it again, I'll say it one more time, my experience with deja vu is feeling like this has happened before and I can't place it. Where a lot of the encounters are like, this looks familiar and then, or this is going to happen and then it happens. It's very, very interesting. But that said, are you ready to get to the encounters?
I'd love to.
All right, I got five encounters. Again, these definitely lend themselves more to glitch in the matrix, seeing the future.
Okay, all right.
You ready?
Yeah.
And they're all from Reddit and Bustle.
Yes, Bustle.
Yeah, it basically was linking to Reddit. So okay. It's essentially all Reddit. Number one, quote, about 1 year ago, I had a totally mundane but really strange dream about being in a stranger's house. It was very detailed and I really paid attention to the pictures on the walls, the furniture, decorations, and other small details in this unknown house. Really weird I remembered it for so long. But anyways, yesterday, I was invited to a party at a friend of a friend's house. I didn't really know my friend's friend, and of course, I'd never been to their house before, but I like meeting new people, so I agreed to go. The moment I stepped into this house, it was the same exact house as in my dream. The same furniture, placed exactly like in my dream. It was even the same pictures. I remember it so clearly that I'm 100% sure I dreamt about this house before visiting. It was really weird and unsettling in some kind of way, unquote.
Wish more would have happened.
See, okay, I'll be honest. Like, these are encounters that are filed under deja vu.
Yeah.
And it fits some of the paranormal. This is a better way of explaining it. These deja vu encounters fit the paranormal theories more than the scientific theories. Because the paranormal lends itself to seeing the future, multi-dimensions, things like that. Mm-hmm. Where the scientific is more like, yeah, this seems familiar, but it's actually not. Your brain just tricking you. Because, mm-hmm. like, for instance, mm-hmm. They were able to retrieve where it came from.
Yeah.
Most instances of deja vu, you're not able to or supposed to be able to retrieve.
That's true. Yeah.
But also, being very honest, in terms of the sake of this podcast, wouldn't be a very entertaining encounter section if it was like, I walked into a dining hall and it felt like I've been here before. You know what I mean? Like, that's,
yeah, yeah.
In terms of how a lot of people experience deja vu, that would be in the encounter. I was talking to my mom. She was wearing a blue dress. And I was like, I've seen her in that dress before. And she said, I bought it yesterday and I wasn't here yesterday. Like, that's like, you know, like those are, yeah, the kind of encounters if they were more on the scientific theory. So I'm just being very open and transparent that these encounters are more like the first one.
I feel like your mom has like a sense of style and you just like have seen it before.
I can't see. I wouldn't even know if it was a blue dress.
You can make out blue.
Yeah, I was eating multicolor rotini though today and I couldn't, it was just,
oh,
it's all rotini.
To be fair, they're really dull.
Claire was like, Joey doesn't eat the green ones. I was like, the green ones.
They do. They're a very similar hue.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's move on to the second encounter. It's not really an encounter. It's more of an experience. Quote, when I was in my early 20s, I was driving around with my best friend, and we went to a part of town that we'd never been. At one point, I turned into a neighborhood to turn around and to go back home. As soon as we were heading into the neighborhood, everything went crazy in my head. I'd been there before. I knew I had. But the neighborhood couldn't have been more than a year or two old, and I'd never been in that part of town. I was really freaking out, and my friend was amazed. Never have I had anything like that happen since. Unquote. So that's more of a traditional.
Yeah, that reminds me of the timeline one.
Which timeline?
That happened further in their timeline.
Oh, like a dimensional.
Yeah.
It could also be the spatial, like the way that the houses were arranged and the road.
That could be it too.
Stop sign. Could remind them of a different city. They just, in that moment, weren't able to retrieve what city it was.
Yeah.
Or town.
Upside. It could be a good indication that Joey is not colorblind.
Oh, that's exactly what I said. That is exactly what I said. I'm like, I don't think he's colorblind.
Then. That's good.
Because the green ones, he's like,
yeah.
Looks too much like broccoli. Number three. Quote, I was probably 13 or 14 at the time. I was in my room, sitting at my desk, doing homework and eating my dinner, which was about half finished, when I heard a knock on the door. I told whoever it was to come in, and it was my mom holding my dinner. This made me super confused because, like I just said, I was eating it. And I told my mom, yeah, I'm already eating dinner. And she points out that she had just finished making it, and there was no food on my desk. I looked down, and my dinner disappeared. To this day, I have no explanation for what happened. Quote.
That is fucking freaky.
Yeah, that one is weird.
Yeah, that's really strange.
Is that dimensional? Is that deja vu? Is that even deja vu?
No.
That's like, and it's not seeing the future. I don't know. That's just weird.
Yeah. Yeah. That is really strange.
All right, experience number four. Quote, back when I was around 12 years old, I went to a Boy Scout camp in the mountains of Colorado. All of the attendees would spend their nights in enclosures called wall tents, which are really just metal frames over which some thick canvas had been draped. These shelters can serve as protection from weather and noise, but that's about it. And they're decidedly not the sort of place you'd want to hide if a bomb is about to go off. Anyway, on the morning of my first day at the camp in question, I was sitting in my tent trying to unpack the various things I need during the day. My friend Peter, another Boy Scout, was sitting across from me telling me a story about having received a concussion when he was younger. Suddenly, as he was describing the aftermath, an urgent flash of images went through my head, all of them accompanied by that bizarre sense of deja vu, the idea that I'd experienced this before. I saw an enormous log come crashing through the back wall of our makeshift house, and I could almost feel my teeth smashing together as the wood assaulted my head. Feeling somewhat silly, but, you know, obviously a little panicked, I jumped away from where I'd been sitting just as an enormous log came crashing through the canvas and onto my cot. It turned out that some of our other fellow scouts had decided to carry a bench back from the woods. And benches in quotes, the bench was the log. When that had proven to require too much effort, they had taken to rolling it, then hoisting it end over end after nearly losing it a few times. One ill-placed push that caused the log to tumble towards my tent, and if I hadn't leapt out of the way, Peter wouldn't have been the only one with a concussion story to share. Unquote.
That is actually really interesting.
It's like a little Final Destiny, Final Destination.
Yeah, it reminds me of the idea, though, that theory that we did both weren't a big fan of. Of the sixth sense.
Mm.
That maybe it was just some kind of this defense mechanism.
To save his life.
Yeah.
It feels, I mean, obviously, well, I don't know if it would have killed him. I have no idea. But it feels so much like Final Destination. And death is like, I'll get you on the back end.
Yeah.
It just, so it skipped him. Had to go around. That should be the next movie. It's just a big log coming down. Rolling down a Boy Scout camp. So this is our fifth and final deja vu experience story. Quote, I had a serious deja vu experience back when I was in elementary school. I just walked into the cafeteria to go buy a slice of pizza and sit down with my usual group of friends. Very usual routine. I go and sit down, and suddenly I snapped into that feeling, that deja vu feeling, that feeling like you've been here before in this exact way, but not just here, exactly here in this exact way. I realized just before my friends turned to greet me at the table, and I felt like I knew what they were going to say and how they were going to say it. The thing with this deja vu was that I had a jump on it. I realized I was experiencing deja vu just before it happened. And being a little kid, I had to prove to my friends that I had these, quote, superpowers. So I just turned to my friend, mimicking the way I remembered him turning to me, and said what I remembered him saying, and how he was going to react to me mimicking him. He said something to the effect of, hey, what's up? Wow, we said the same thing. Hey, stop it. And I copied it word for word, movement by movement at the same exact time that he did. I have no idea how we looked to everybody else, but in my mind, we were literally a perfect mirror. And that's where the deja vu stopped. But I felt like for a moment, I was some type of superhero. Unfortunately, nobody really cared for my super deja vu, unquote. We can discuss that in the discussion. All right, before we get to the discussion, we like to stop the main episode and thank our newest patrons. And as of the recording of this episode, our newest patrons are Kimberly, Asthma Witch, Antonio, Jules, Claire, and Lee Ann.
Wow.
Charlie, share the love. Not just one. Please tell all of them and any prospective patron listeners what type of fun, exciting bonus content they can get if they join our Patreon.
Absolutely. Tyler, we put a lot of work into our Patreon.
It's true.
We put a lot of thought and preparation into it. A couple things I want to showcase are our quiz. We play games. We play this quiz game where we try to test our knowledge of the topic before we can get a chance to learn about it. We also have these really well-produced writings called theatrical readings, where we try to make them as sound effects heavy as possible. We get actors, and I think they come out great. We also have Do You Believe the Bizarre, which is a game with our producer, Ben. And we also have our social media response, which is our response to those questions we put out every Monday. And we talk about the questions, and we talk about what people say, our opinions on them too. We also have an exclusive shirt that you can only get for being in our dedicated tier for 3 months.
That's right. I mean, we got Google Hangouts where we chill with patrons every month. We have a monthly giveaway in our exclusive Discord. We watch movies together. Lots of fun stuff, lots of bonus content all month long. Content going all the way back to May 2021. And even now, we're still thinking about refining and adding more stuff. Bizarre News, I mean, that's a new addition.
Yeah.
There's always new ways that we're tinkering.
Beyond the Bizarre is brand new.
Beyond the Bizarre. We really like bonus content. We really like putting more stuff out there that maybe doesn't fit the main episodes, the main channel. So if you like the podcast, if you want a little bit more, there is more waiting for you at our Patreon. With that said, let's go to the discussion. All right, Charlie, there was a lot of science. There was a dash of paranormal. There was some paranormal and science put together. There were some strange experiences of deja vu.
I feel like Bill Nye the Science Guy, if he spent a little time in the Himalayas and got a little enlightened, you know?
Oh, that's how you feel right now?
Yeah, that's how I feel.
I feel like we need bow ties then. He always wore bow ties, didn't he?
Yeah, he does. Does still.
I feel like he weighs like 110 pounds. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
He is thin.
He's tall and thin. He's a tall, thin, and a white guy. Tall, thin, white.
Oh.
Is Bill Nye an alien? That's our next episode. After the Denver.
It's a good alien. It's a good topic.
Yeah. So let me ask you. One scientific theory, one paranormal theory. Which ones stand out to you? Which ones feel the best?
Okay. So paranormal theory, I liked a lot, was the timeline theory. So like multiple.
The dimensional?
Dimensional, yeah. Sure. So, like, you have this experience in the future, and then you experience it in your present time, which is actually the past.
Okay. So, let me ask you this before you go to your favorite scientific one, if you have one. You did a whole episode and researched past lives. How do you feel about the way deja vu plays into past life, that the way you experience deja vu is just you experiencing something that you didn't experience, but somebody, a past life of your own, experienced?
I also think that's a great idea, because there's, in the past life episodes, there's this whole story about a little boy who experienced life as an old lady before he died, became a little boy. But he goes to his town, I don't know if you remember this, and he's plotting out the town.
Isn't he telling them where to turn and
where
everything?
Where to turn and like where people live. Yeah. I think that's an interesting idea.
That's like the extreme, right? Like, I feel like if we all have past lives and you can't know, if you don't remember, if you don't have a good pulse on that, maybe you experienced deja vu, where that kid obviously was not experiencing deja vu.
he
knew.
Full on memories, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a good, interesting, if you were out somewhere foreign, let's say, I don't know, Rome, and you experience deja vu while in front of like the Colosseum or something, maybe you have a memory, maybe that's because you had been there in the past. Yeah, I think it's an interesting idea.
Okay.
Because you're not going to see the Colosseum beforehand unless you see it on like a pizza box or a stamp.
Yeah, I guess that would be my form of deja vu. Or if you saw it in a movie, like if you watched movies about it and, you know, you relate to it that way. Is there a scientific theory? I'll reiterate because I know that was like...
There was a lot of them,
50 minutes ago. So the first one is just the idea that there's abnormal signaling in our temporal lobe, which causes our memory retrieval to malfunction. Yeah, it's commonly tied to schizophrenia, epilepsy, anxiety, not only, but more likely to have it. And then obviously the other characteristics we said. There's the perception theory, where you don't fully perceive it the first time, come back a little bit later, perceive it the second time, and you get deja vu from that. There was just, it's more likely to happen if you're a little unfocused, tired, unaware. And then there was the dopamine. Mm. Oh, sorry. And then beyond the dopamine one, which I don't particularly love, there was the spatial recognition. It's that if you're in a place that is somewhat arranged spatially as to another place you've been to, where it's not the same, but it's kind of close, it gives you deja vu.
Yeah. I feel like, okay, the perception one, I feel like that might happen for smaller things, just smaller moments of deja vu. Like, I feel like I've had this meal before.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Or I feel like I've got this toy before, or like I got a knife like this before. Something like that. But I don't know. I don't think that accounts for big ones. But I do think the spatial recognition one, I think that could account for small and big.
Yeah, I agree with that. The only problem, and they admit it in the study, they're like, this isn't the only thing that causes deja vu, this is just one factor.
Right.
I just think there's some things that aren't, like, I think deja vu could be completely conversation-based, which, unless it's your subconscious reading the room, mm-hmm. and you're misattributing where the deja vu is coming from. So if it's actually coming from the room you're in, and not who you're talking to, but you're saying it's from the conversation, I just feel like it's not always about where you're at physically. It could be something that's happening conversation-based, mm-hmm. something like that. So it doesn't account for that, although I give it credit because the theory says it isn't all of it. That's just my only issue with it a little bit.
It seems to me that the ones that we like scientifically, are the subconscious reading and understanding before the conscious does. If that makes sense.
What do you mean?
So like the perception one, you see something, but you don't fully comprehend it. And then you turn back to it and then you comprehend it.
I like the spatial one, and I'm not, I have no problem with the idea that it's the temporal lobe just kind of misfiring. I think, and we already kind of touched on that a little bit where you said you don't think it's that. I tend to lean into the idea that the way the brain functions, like it's like a, such a well-oiled machine that just like one little thing off could, who knows what that could create.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think everybody, I don't think that's the only reason. I don't think there's any perfect theory.
I agree.
Actually, if there's any perfect theory, it's probably the in the dimensional one, which I'm not saying is true. That's just the one that seems to be able to account for it perfectly. But I think some type of issue or momentary issue with the temporal lobe causing issues with memory retrieval could be part of it. I think the spatial could be part of it. But neither one, I think, perfectly explains deja vu, which is why it's a mysterious phenomenon. So before we completely move on, do you have any final thoughts about any of the experiences or any of those that you want to touch on in more detail?
The dinner plate.
Yeah.
The dinner plate.
I don't even think that's deja vu. It was filed under deja vu in terms of the way that the story was
so
pulled.
Weird. It's not deja vu. That's like a time skip or
yeah, that's like
something.
That's like the story from that listener submission compilation of like the cat coming up the stairs.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then hearing the knock, the scratching, and the cat's back inside. Like, that's just a, there's like a portal you're walking through there.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that I want this to be scored on our believability scale, which goes from believable to viable to skeptical to unbelievable, is not whether deja vu is real, because 97% of people experience it.
Correct.
It is whether or not it is a paranormal phenomenon. Is it one of our paranormal theories that is more likely to explain deja vu than the scientific theories?
Okay. You want me to go first?
I do. I would love that.
Okay. All right. So I think you're right. The perfect theory is the temporal dimensional one.
Just dimensional, right?
Yeah. Dimensional. I think the perfect theory is probably that dimensional theory. I also really like the past lives theory. I think they're better than your stupid science. I think they're better than the science theories.
I'm gonna go
viable.
Okay.
Stupid science.
I know he spent 40 minutes on science, 10 minutes on paranormal. He's like, paranormal. No, I think the past lives theory is, there's two for both. I think the past lives can make sense. I can make them make sense. The past lives can make sense to me. The multi-dimensional theory can make sense to me. I think the issues with the temporal lobe in the brain and memory retrieval can make sense, and the spatial recognition can make sense. So it's kind of two and two for me. So that leaves me somewhere between viable and skeptical. You know what? I'll be honest. And I try not to do this. I kind of went into this episode expecting to be skeptical, and I still do feel skeptical to a certain extent. However, even these articles scientifically are saying, here's a part of it. Here's a part of the solution. Here's a theory we have. There were some that are very concrete. And those are mostly the temporal lobe, where it's like, this is why it's happening. And they make characteristics like, you're more likely to experience deja vu if you have these characteristics, or if you have these disorders, you're more likely. But that's not saying why. They're just making their best guesses. And then there's studies. So I don't want somebody to be like, you guys are completely ignoring the science. No, I think it explains parts of it. But this is Believe in the Bizarre. And those, like specifically the past lives and the multidimensional, if those don't exist, then I think the science does a pretty good job trying to explain it. But if those exist, it does a decent job.
Maybe it's not all the cases. Maybe it's more like 50-50. Maybe science accounts for, maybe your brain does have this aptitude for the science, but also those paranormal things can happen as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish if we had a fifth option. You know, it's like when there's like strongly disagree, neutral, agree, strongly agree.
Yeah.
This is one of those ones where I would be neutral, but we don't do that. We make us pick sides on here.
Yeah.
And I like the scientific theories, but I think they're very honest about like, this could explain part of it. There's other factors at play. Since it's not fully decided, I'm not going to be fully decided. I'm going to join you on Viable for now. Maybe eventually I will switch on that with more studies. But I like the dimensional, multi-dimension theory and past lives are both pretty cool when you think about deja vu. So that is our episode on deja vu. Good times. Let us know.
We've talked about this before. I'm having some deja vu.
Yeah, let us know if you've never experienced it.
Yes.
I'm curious. If you've experienced it, cool. So everyone else has. You're not special. Listen.
That's not nice.
You're not. I'm just kidding. You are very special. If you've been listening this long and putting up with this much science, you are incredibly special.
I agree.
We appreciate you. You must really like us. That's how I feel about the history ones. I don't know if that's how you feel about the long history ones.
I don't know. I just really enjoy the history. So it's more about me in that moment.
Yeah, yeah. So like I put out Deja Vu and Charlie puts out Slept Castle. It's fine. But anyway, I hope you've been enjoying this. I hope you've been enjoying the podcast. I hope your 2023 has been going fantastically. Charlie, is your 2023, the year of Michael Jordan. How's it been going?
It's been going just fine.
Just fine. Just cruising along. Might as well be.
Going on a cruise pretty soon.
That's true.
I'm very excited.
That's true. I'm excited for you. We'll see my traveling plans. I've been so busy with things, you know. I haven't been putting too much work into it, but I'm hoping to. But if you're enjoying the podcast and you'd like to let us know and other people know, and you're on Apple Podcasts, leave a review, 5 stars, thoughts. Oh, man, that's great. Love this. Like that. Could do this better. You don't have to say that. So do you? Yeah. We do take constructive criticism decently well. Feel free to do that. If you're listening on Spotify, it's so easy. Just hit the 5-star rating and go on about your day.
That's right. And also, if you're enjoying this episode and you want more bonus content,
more.
We mentioned it earlier in the episode, but we do have that Patreon that we did work for a good while on.
That's true.
So we planned it out. And if you like us and the show, you'll probably like the Patreon.
If you like me, there's more of me. Yeah. But if you got a little bit of Christmas money too, or a little bit, you know, that, actually, we're pretty far away from income tax return. But anyway, if you'd like to wear some Believe in Bizarre merchandise, I know we said that we do have an exclusive Patreon-only shirt, but we do have a bunch of other merch options. We got shirts, we got hoodies, we got hats, we got tote bags, we got stickers. If you go to believingthebizarre.com, go to shop merch. There's a whole bunch of stuff up there. Check it out. I'm a big fan of our neon logo.
Yeah.
Not the purple one you're looking at now, which I do like. I like that very much. But the neon logo, it hits a little differently.
It's just more simple.
It is. I like it, though. And the same artist made both, so I never feel guilty about saying
that. You're not insulting anybody.
No. But anyway, thank you, everybody, so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
Podcast as bizarre as you are.
You gotta hit the same time.
That is freaky.
Try it.
That is freaky.